news today
on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Yes, we're back on the radio again. For the concluding part of Dailies today, I'm Sheriff Quadri.
And I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
You can join us on our socials on Facebook. We're there, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're streaming live right now, so you can see the two of us. You can also watch us live on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Let's start with the Vanguard newspaper this morning. Page 5 of the Vanguard newspaper. Deputy Governor, Government Building Agency differ on why 21-floor tower collapsed.
Okay, so we have this embarrassing situation this morning. The LAPSCA, that is the Lagos State Building Agency, the GM of that agency, in these matters, he is the number one authority in this case. He has said that the approval for the building that went down was for 15 floors. The approval for the building that went down was for 15 floors. And reacting to the development earlier, he had said that the owner of the building was given approval to construct only 15 floors. And let me quote what he said to have said. He said, we got approval for a 15-story building. He got approval for a 15-story building, and he exceeded his limits. He now says something. I am on the ground here, and the materials and reinforcement he used are inferior and are so inferior and terrible. Let me repeat what the GM said, okay? He said, I am on ground here. Okay, I am on ground. He is on ground here. He got approval for 15 floors, but built 21. I think he has been locked down. He has been arrested before now. But the surprisingly, the deputy governor is quoted to have said that the developer got approval for 21 floors for the collapsed structure. He also disclosed that the building was sealed in June for 4 months when certain defects were noticed by government until this month when it was unsealed after the defects had been corrected. And then he went on to talk about, we are not sure of the number of people inside. Now, these two contradictory statements are so crucial to investigations that by now I expect the Commissioner for Information to have come out with a statement from the Lagos State Government to tell the public whether it was the approval was for 15 or the approval was 21. Leaving it hanging in the balance leads to all kinds of speculations. And of course, you know, with the mistrust that people have for politicians and so on and so forth, your guess is as good as mine as, you know, what is going through the minds of a lot of people in this regard. I was telling Sheriff this morning that this is a high-profile tragedy that has touched almost every elite in this side of town and some parts of the Southwest and, of course, the rest of Nigeria. The true story of this project has not been told. The real investors have not been told, because this is the way I think it works. This gentleman, you know, what's his name again? Oshibono has, would most likely have this project and get what they call investors. He could get people of interest, people who have this kind of dosh or money, as we call it, to invest in the project. That is usual, and there's nothing unusual about that. The people who invested in this project, we don't even know as we speak. These are some of the things that we might have to unravel. Those who then bought the flats, don't forget that sometimes when these construction things are going on, you know, sometimes you have to prepay. I would never do that. Never. I would never. Well, you know, the way I earn my money is so hard that I can't afford. I like pay and parking. Let me see what it is, and then I pay and go. But usually people have loads of, it was only $1 million anyway, so what's the big deal? So some people would have put money down, one flat, two flats, and so on and so forth. Now, the people who are still in the rubble are yet to be identified, but the media seems to be silent on it. There are all kinds of speculations that are making the rounds. And I think that by now, somebody should be telling us something. Mm-hmm. Because whether even if we delay from now till kingdom come, at some point, it will start filtering out. And if you don't provide information, you leave room for all kinds of rumors.
By the way, talking about providing information, the yes. relatives of those trapped, they were really angry. They're still angry
yes.
that there is actually no information desk that they can go to and ask for information as regards their relative who could have maybe been trapped inside mm-hmm. the building or rescued or whatever it is. Mm. Nowhere to get information. So they're really, really angry.
Yes, because it is being said that apparently there was a meeting that was held there yesterday.
That's right. On Monday.
On Monday, sorry. And at that meeting were potential buyers or those maybe who had just bought who came and were being taken around. I read somewhere that the gentleman who owned the building, Oshibana himself,
yeah.
was with some people on the 18th floor. Mm. On the 18th floor when this building came down. Well, it's an unfolding drama. The GM who claims to have been on ground and is most likely from that language, is standing his ground on 15, has now been suspended indefinitely. Well, before we go into that, I'd like to we thank the governor for immediately deciding to set up an independent body made up of professionals, I think from Institute of Architects and so on and so forth. It would be nice if we had one or two members of the media in that committee so that to authenticate a lot of things that might go on there. There can be no cover-ups in this one. There can be no cover-ups in this one. On a general front and religious front, what I'm going to say is going to surprise a lot of people coming from me. But it is glaring to me. God is speaking to the elite of this country. And it is better for them to listen very well and start to attempt to mend their ways. I won't say more than that.
It was an accident,
no, yes.
God is not saying anything.
No, I don't believe that. I know you just want to contradict me.
No, I just don't want
to contradict you. I had promised you a present yesterday, and it will still come.
There's no religion in this.
There is.
It was just somebody who was trying to cut corners. No.
Why don't you ask me for that? Why do I think so?
There's no God in it. It was an accident.
But I believe very strongly. For those who would, of course, I respect him. That's his opinion. He'll come later to say that I am a converted. But he himself knows. And anybody, and most people know, if you are very, very discerning, by the time everything that has happened here is unraveled, if you want, believe me, if you want to be like Sheriff, don't believe me. But I believe that God is speaking and people should listen. But by the way, listen, let me even ask you.
Oh, yeah.
Is it because it's an accident that God is not speaking? Nothing happens. Because that's what we are told in religion. Nothing happens without his knowledge.
It's different from speaking.
Wait a minute. So he just wanted the man to make
it. I believe
like
it's the same way he wanted devil to go astray. He knew the devil was going to go astray. You want us to go there?
So you're agreeing with me now?
No, I'm saying that he's not speaking anything. He's not. He's just allowing you your free will. He's allowing you your free will. And that one wanted to cut corners. It's his free will.
Kekere, go and repent. So you can hear the voice of God. Go and repent. Do you want me to lay hands on you?
No, please. Don't be like that, man.
You mean the pastor
laying hands? Yes, laying hands.
You need to see that video of the pastor who said he laid hands and so on. This incident is far-reaching and is unraveling so many things. And that is why I'm inclined to believe that God actually is speaking. But I will handle this gentleman. I'll handle him.
Okay.
I'll lay hands. I'll put you on your shoulder as well. You've all called it undone.
We're going to stay with the Vanguard, page 9 this time. Insecurity, get military out of southeast to douse tension. Anambra governorship candidates, Igbo Elders Forum.
I'm surprised that the governorship candidates who want to gain control of a state will be asking that the military should be out of the southeast at this crucial time when shootings and killings are going on. We need to be less sensational about the thing, about the things that we say, but especially people who are exposed in manners like this, and be more careful about the rhetoric we put out. The yes, you might politically you all put up all kinds of arguments, but hey, there is no way there will be peace in Anambra, and indeed the whole of the Southeast, if there is no balance in the military, in the military architecture that we have in the state. You almost have a full army, stomping, killing, and whatever. There must be a balance. So I'm surprised that any one of these, and indeed the Elders Forum, who will be the most hit. Let's face it, there's a lot of insecurity. Now, I'm not justifying who is doing what, but yeah, let's take politics out of the equation and let's face reality. If you don't have a balance in military presence in the Southeast, it will not all go well for a lot of people, for the majority.
They are saying that they are committed to peaceful election on their own part. They are ready to enforce peace.
Who is ready?
And they are the candidates. This story.
Yes.
And they are appealing to their followers to make sure that they don't resort to violence in any way. But they are saying that they would also like the government, the federal government, to also demilitarize the Southeast zone to ensure.
You can't anymore.
The elections go on free.
You see, one of the mistakes I think that has been made is everybody thinks that every man with a gun in hand is an IPOB member. Apparently, no. You remember somebody, we got a revelation of that, that there are so many armed groups.
Armed groups, yes.
You must put them under some kind of control. That's the honest to God, that's the blazing truth. You must put them under some kind of control. You know, we found ourselves in the... I watched the video of the shootout between... supposedly between the police and some people who are shooting at them, right, and so on and so forth. And I told whoever it was, I was beside me, I can't remember that. I still remember, Sheriff, that the Civil War of 1967 started with an attempt to go and get Ojukwu arrested. Things are degenerating. We had one of the candidates on video, I think it was Channels, I was interviewing him. There were gunshots in the background.
That was Arise.
Oh, was it Arise?
Yes,
it was Arise. It was Arise. And there were gunshots in the background.
Well,
I mean, so
to that effect, I was let me not say what I heard. Because I heard that might have been staged. Well, that's another thing. That was a governorship candidate. Uncle Jimmy, wait. That was a governorship candidate. The gunshots were so loud, like they were behind his windows.
Yeah, but because it was, I don't know, but he said everywhere, he looked calm, though.
Do you understand, like, it was...
Baba get for to some, do, he had Baba, he must have had Odreshi, he said to stay calm.
Baba would have taken cover.
But okay, so if it was some kind of conspiracy, then the cameraman was involved, because if I had those kind of controls,
it was probably just a phone or something, you know, that they set up, because he joined the interview via whatever it is. Yeah.
But if he did that, I just want to know what is he trying to achieve?
I wouldn't know. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what happened.
But that is a possibility.
Yeah.
I think those gunshots were real. I think those gunshots
It's possible. Maybe from his own people.
Then listen to what Ezefe has said, my brothers and sisters in the Southeast. You will regret if you boycott November 6th. We said that here. And he says that he urged the people of Anambra to go out en masse and elect the next governor, saying that boycotting the election will be counterproductive and a disservice to the state. And he says that the consequences of not voting will be unimaginable, because people who do not treat us well will use that opportunity to impose any unpatriotic element on us as a governor. All hands must be on deck to ensure that the Anambra State election is not only free and fair and credible, but also seen by all as meeting all necessary standards. I would have thought that IPOB would have joined the fray, support one candidate, so that at least they have somebody who is sensitive to their whatever it is, and try to see if they can push him up.
Right.
Rather than asking people know that there will be no election. I think strategically they must have made a mistake there. But we've been talking about this for so long.
Yes. Let's go pick up page 5, yes, page 5 of the New Telegraph newspaper. Invasion of Justice Odili's home, Supreme Court reacts 4 days after.
Yeah, I mean, this, the Supreme Court reaction is rather slow. I believe that within 24 hours, the Supreme Court could have put, even if it was just one test sentence, could have reacted. To wait for 4 days before this happens, it leads to all kinds of speculations again, but I don't want to get involved in all that. Because I wonder why the CJ, with due respect, why he would have waited for 4 days for this to happen. I mean, for the reaction to, you know, to be put together. But this is what he says, this is what the Supreme Court says, that the judiciary should never be misconstrued by any individual or institution or government as a weeping child. I think this weeping child that they wrote here, weeping, is weep, not weeping. Okay, you got to get what happened there.
Yeah.
Weeping child, people like, because who wrote this? Tunde Ojechino. He says, as a weeping child among the three arms of government, that must always be chastised and ridiculed to silence because of our conservative disposition. Therefore, they have emerged discordant tunes, and there's so much written there. But I'm also wondering why the Chief Justice did not immediately book an appointment to see the President that same Monday.
Yeah.
Don't you think it would have been proper to have done that?
Or the President summoning him?
Summoning? Well, no, you can't summon him. You can invite him.
He's the commander.
So I think he's the commander in chief, yes, but he can't summon he's the lingo. The most important thing is for them to meet.
Or the attorney general.
No, the attorney general has to go to meet the chief justice, but he said he didn't know anything about it. Hmm. It's a mess.
It's a big mess.
What I would have expected, though, is some telephone, whatever, between the two of them. It probably is why it's taking 4 days. Okay, maybe behind the scenes, telephone calls have been going. How do we manage this crisis? And so on and so forth. So maybe this is just to fulfill our righteousness.
Yeah.
But the way our government...
The way Nigeria is run
in a paddy-paddy manner and such a rupture, it is embarrassing.
It's like our way of life.
It is embarrassing.
But that's how we run everything in Nigeria.
We are so bloody incompetent. In which country, for example, would you find, at the country of whatever, would you find that an individual would just raise, you know, would raise a building from 15 to 21. Mm. And then when the crisis happens, between the deputy governor and the man who says that he's on the spot, you can't agree on the figure. Ha, come on. What kind of a country are we in? Before the deputy governor came, I assumed that he would have been briefed.
Yes.
Somebody should fall for that, for giving him a wrong figure, because I'd rather believe the man who he said, for emphasis, that I'm the man on the spot. Means that probably there's been an argument either on what the number, on what has happened, or what should be said.
What should be said, exactly.
Which now leads to speculations where you now start speculating and thinking that, okay, is this why this man was hurriedly suspended?
But why is it so convenient not to think that the man could have made a mistake on his own?
Who?
The building agency man. Okay. Why is it so convenient to think that he's infallible? Why is it so convenient?
You know, one of the things that I give myself credit for is that I look at words. If a man goes to say that, if he was asked casually, what happened? We approved 15, he went to 21. I wouldn't, but when he says, I am the man on the spot, that shows you that there's been an argument before then. When he adds that lingo and he says, I am the, he says he got approval for a 15-story building and he exceeded his limit. I am on the ground here.
He said he got approval for a 15-story building. We have three buildings there.
Looking
at the words now, we have three buildings.
Let me read it again.
Okay.
It says, reacting to the development earlier, Mr. Oki said the owner of the building was given approval to construct only 15 floors. So maybe it's even 15 floors for the three.
But he didn't say. It wasn't stated outright.
But he says that.
It wasn't outright. It wasn't clear. That's an ambiguous statement.
I'll go floor you now. Wait. You do, I'm surrounded by lawyers. What do you think? The story here says that, reacting to the development, Oki said the owner of the building was given approval to construct only 15 floors. Okay? So, and the reference throughout is to this building that went down. Then he said he got approval for a 15-story building and he exceeded his limit.
A 15-story building. We have three buildings there. That's what I'm saying.
No. Cool down. He is talking about this building and he says that, look, listen.
He said a 15-story building. There is a 15-story building. They're still standing.
The A in this matter is that he was given approval for a 15-story building, but he then built a...
I don't agree. It could have been more explicit by saying that we gave him approval for this building. Or he could have said all the buildings here, the three of them, the 360, whatever.
He's not talking about the other buildings.
The agency approved all the buildings. It's the same man doing the same project.
Your argument is on the A because he put A.
Exactly.
Okay, I will remove A.
No, don't remove it. That's what he said.
The mistake could have been
from him himself. Let's not think that he's infallible, that he couldn't have made the mistake of mixing things up.
Okay, let me defer that.
And I'm not even defending the deputy governor. I'm just saying that let's be open-minded about it.
Listen. Can I talk now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Don't let me bring out something from my pocket.
Please don't. I don't have anything. I only have God.
The God that he didn't believe is talking. Now, he was saying that this man got approval for a 15-story and he has now built. It's use of language, maybe. But he now says that I am on the ground here and the materials and reinforcement he used are so terrible and inferior. He's on ground. And he says that he got approval for 15 floors, but built 21, and that he has been arrested before. But the deputy governor is less combative. And he says that the developer got approval for 21 floors for the collapsed structure. He also said that the building was sealed in June for 4 months when certain defects were noticed by government until this month when it was unsealed after the defects had been corrected. But the gentleman we are talking about now, as we speak, has been suspended. Can we get the call through to him later today? Is it possible?
I don't know. I don't have his number.
I can fish that out for you. But okay. the only thing I'm sure about is that he won't want to say
anything. He won't want to say anything right now, understandably so.
But in journalism, everything is news. If he doesn't want to say anything, it's news.
It's news, that's right.
He'll quickly switch off his phone.
Yeah, well, that's the easiest way to evade it.
It's probably switch off his
such a position to be in. But people have also been raising questions as to why not sanction the commissioner for, what's that thing called again?
Which commissioner?
Somebody should help me.
Physical planning. I'm not sure if that's Red Ministry. I better be careful so you don't put your foot in it. Mm. I don't know. Yes, but the head of the agency has. I think this is the way it might most likely work out, and this is what would probably bring some. So, apart from other things that would be recommended, I think the governor should start thinking very seriously of turning that whole department around. It's a cesspit of corruption. Don't let's joke about it. Don't let's even argue about it. We all know. We know what we know. We know what goes down there. All kinds of rumors are going around. Some, maybe one or two flats have been given to top officials these things are out there. Yorubas have a proverb that says that machine imamo, if you don't want people to know what you're doing, then don't do it. Every single thing about the transaction is out there in the open. Some contrived, some real. But I think that a complete clean sweep is what is needed in that place. And then sanctions. One thing we have failed to do, look at all the building collapses we have had. We have failed to sanction the appropriate people. It's always at the end of the day giving a soft landing,
paddy paddy,
and then the whole thing is we don't apply sanctions. You know, so that it is very key, and I hope that Governor Sanwo-Olu will make the point this time. To say, luckily, those who, you know, his bosses and so on, Asiwaju has said that nothing must be swept under the carpet, and that this is one whatever too many. And I'm glad he made that statement yesterday.
Right.
If somebody in this capacity can say that, then we know that action will definitely take place.
Right. Let's take this rather interesting story. Housewife connives with three men to kidnap husband. That's on page three of the Vanguard.
I heard you this
morning. Have you?
I heard you this morning. And it says that a housewife, this is a good Diabumi story, Memunot was arrested. She planned the kidnap of her husband. She said the husband is too stingy. Sheriff, this is a lesson.
Stingy men association. They are in trouble.
This is a lesson. All you have there now, you better bring out your checkbooks. I know we don't even use checkbooks anymore.
Yeah.
Just do a quick transfer. But she's been arrested in Ogun State and with three other people, and they kidnapped her husband. And they said the team accosted the three young men whose looks were highly suspicious on the motorcycle and stopped them for search. While searching them, a cutlass and new rope were discovered. This is how the police were able to have intercepted them. And in the course of interrogation, the three of them confessed that it was one woman who was later identified as Memunot Salaudin, who gave them 8,000 to buy a cutlass and a rope strong enough to tie a human being. And that they confess that the woman, who is a nurse, you better make sure you don't go and get an injection from this woman, at Balogun Tutu Gasland Ifo, asked them to hide somewhere along the way. Anyway, she wanted her husband kidnapped, and they've all been rounded up.
Yeah.
So stingy men, like Solomon said,
be careful.
Of stingy men,
yeah.
Be careful.
Be careful. UK court dismisses bloggers' appeal against MFM Olukoya's defamation suit.
Yes, my good man, I went to school with this man. Look how he went to MBHS with him, up school. He is £65,000 and £35,000 richer because some blogger maligned him in the United Kingdom. It is important that people know, all of you who make these skits and videos, and you go about destroying people's character and so on and so forth, there is judgment day. And I'm glad that this man, I'm sorry to say this, due apologies, but I'm glad that this Dr. Lukoya and Volashade, who felt that they have been maligned, went to a UK court. So the dispensation of justice was very swift. And not only do they have £65,000 and £35,000, the blogger has also been told to make sure that the judgment is placed in a prominent place on her blog. We all need to be careful. There are rules to media practice. It's not just a free-for-all.
No, it's not.
We don't just put on the microphone and say things that... If you know some of the things that Sheriff and I say off-air before we even start...
Ha! Kai. You don't want to know.
And then it is not... I don't know what we gain by assassinating people's character. I don't understand it. But that's what seems to be... If you look at YouTube, most of the numbers are from either some indecent thing or assassinating somebody's character or some sex-related this or that and so on and so forth. I mean, what kind of a country are we? Where is intellect in all this? I don't know. I'm so pained to see where my country is going. You look at TikTok. I love looking at these little skits. Somebody's doing TikTok with a dog. An able man is doing TikTok with a dog, a cat. You can say all kinds of things to entertain you. When it comes to the Nigerian TikTok now, it's always the backside. It's always the backside. You have nothing else to offer but the backside or something with a sexual inclination. What is it about us? What is it about us?
Sir? We must go now. We have to go now.
Yeah.
What's coming up at 9? Is Wednesday.
What is today?
It's Wednesday. Yes.
So what is today?
It's Wednesday.
I want you to announce it yourself.
It's Diabumi edition of Daily Digest.
Digest on Wednesday. Yes, that's what we have.
Who is coming?
Let me just say she's an old student of Queen's College. You know, Queen's College girls, I made myself an honorary member.
Straight.
By force, by fire.
You impose yourself.
because what happened was that by error, I started getting all their WhatsApp messages.
Wow.
So I made myself an honorary member. So please call that old girl. One of yours is coming today. I think she was in the OB house.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I even know the houses and everything.
Fantastic. All right. We'll wait for that to happen. Fantastic. All right.